From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns brings the second portion of a message entitled, A Faithful and a Fruitful Ministry. In verses 24 through 29 of chapter 1, the Apostle sets forth the essence of the gospel ministry. The doctrine of the text teaches us that the Christian minister has the privilege of serving the body of Christ. In this capacity, the minister speaks with the authority which comes from God. One who would be a faithful minister of Christ must be a servant among men, not one who lords it over the people. A true Christian minister is a steward who is to provide the food of God's truth to those in his charge. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will come to the message. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, His Love, His Gift, His Son. The text is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Of all the stars in the sky, the pole star is the most useful to the mariner. This text is a pole star, for it has guided more souls to salvation than any other scripture. It is among promises what the Great Bear is among constellations. Several words in it shine with peculiar brilliance. Here we have God's love with a soul to it, which marks its measureless greatness. Then we have God's gift in all its freeness and greatness. This also is God's Son, that unique and priceless gift of a love which could never fully show itself till heaven's only begotten had been sent to live and die for men. These three points are full of light. Then there is the simple requirement of believing, which graciously points to a way of salvation suitable for guilty men. This is backed by a wide description, whosoever believeth in Him. Many have found room in whosoever who would have felt themselves shut out by a narrower word. Then comes the great promise that believers in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is cheering to every man who feels that he is ready to perish and that he cannot save himself. We believe in the Lord Jesus, and we have eternal life.
Mysterious.
To Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
People who enter into the Christian ministry thinking it's a place of glamour or a place of honor or worse still, a place of worldly remuneration, but there's no actual spiritual work, sometimes very little physical work going into the thing. That was not Paul's view of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you read this passage, you'll see that to Paul, the work of the ministry had two fundamental elements. He uses two words of basic importance. First of all, the minister is a servant of men. Now, I know that he's called the servant of God, and there the word is usually the slave, the bond slave of the Lord. And a minister ought never to forget that. He is indentured to the service of his master. But the word here is really the word that we use for deacon. A deacon is a servant. And the gospel minister is a servant among men. His calling is to labor for the good of the saints of God. His work is for the sake of the body of Christ, which is his church. His endeavor is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, that is, on the great day of his return. The minister of the gospel, therefore, is a servant among men. As Peter says, the elders, the overseers, the bishops, the ministers, they are not lords over God's heritage. They are bond slaves of Christ, yes, but they are servants to spend and be spent, whatever the cost, in terms of personal popularity, personal ease, personal gain or loss, whatever the cost, they are called to spend and be spent in the service of the body of Jesus Christ, which is his church. So the minister is a servant of men. But he is also a steward of God. And this comes out very clearly when Paul in verse 25 says, whereof, that is, of the church, of the body of Christ, I am made a servant, a minister, according to the dispensation. Notice that word, the dispensation of God. Now, this is not said critically of the Authorized Version. It's simply said factually, because English as a language is one that keeps moving, and therefore the force of words is apt to change either largely or in small ways. To us today, the word dispensation, well, first of all, if you've been brought up with a Scofield Bible, you would think a dispensation is a period of time. And that is not how it's used here. It's not speaking of any period of time whatsoever. The word dispensation to us is a passive word. For example, you all know that the Church of Rome is supposedly a church that says it doesn't believe in divorce. That is, unless you have the money to pay for it. As usual, the Pope's hypocrisy is only matched by his audacity. And certainly, if you have enough money, you can go and you will get what they call an annulment. There are certain legal grounds in which people may have annulments, and personally I don't think an annulment is equivalent to a divorce if those legal grounds and the moral grounds are met. I'm not going into that this morning, but the Pope will take people who have been married for years, who have children as the fruit of their marriage, and under the circumstances, usually monetary or pulling strings, he will give a dispensation. So I say the word is a passive word in English. A dispensation is something we receive. But the word that Paul uses here, if you were to break it up into its constituent parts, it would speak of the law of the house. This is an active word, and a dispensation in the New Testament is not just something arranged by God and received by us, but rather it is an active divine administration. And I want you to think this through with me now. For I've said Paul has a very high view of his ministry. And what he's claiming here is that in fulfilling the office into which God placed him, he was acting by divine authority. And in so far and as long as he fulfilled the office in which God placed him, it was not just Paul working, it was God working. That's the claim that Paul is making. Now, in the highest sense, obviously, that was limited to the apostles. I say in the highest sense, only the apostles were inspired to write binding revelation that would last throughout the entire era of the church. But in the relative sense, it is true of the Christian ministry generally. This is something that's serious for me as a minister, and it's serious for you as the members of the body of Christ. Any minister and any ministry that faithfully sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ and that expounds the Word of God comes with full divine authority. It comes with the authority of him who gave the word. I want you to understand this. This puts a burden on any minister. I don't think most ministers have a clue in the world as to the solemnity, the seriousness of the task they say God has called them to. I give an opinion here. I can't prove this for very obvious reasons. But I think if you had some means of checking certain internet sites, you'd have found that they were buzzing last night, as they buzz every Saturday night, as lazy, incompetent, dishonest preachers around the world are running from one sermon site to another to find out what can I get from somebody else to preach. God help the Church of Christ when you have a bunch of nincompoops in the pulpit who know so little of God, so little in experience of what it is to get through to God, that all they can do is recycle somebody else's homiletical efforts and present it up. You talk about refried beans, these are regurgitated sermons. It would make a dog sick. I think that so often preachers, they have the job, but they don't have the calling. This is a serious thing for every man that stands behind the pulpit. I was talking to one of my brethren yesterday, a young man who had the task of following in the footsteps of a very eminent, brilliant preacher. Very humble young man and a very good preacher in his own right. God has certainly blessed him. But he said, I have told my people, I am not Mr. So-and-so. I do not have his skills, his ability, his experience. I am still a young man. I am still learning. But then so is he. You never stop learning. He said, but when I come before you from the agony of my study with the message that God has given me, I expect you to listen, and I expect you to take it as from God. And he's right, you know. He's right. Absolutely right. For this not only puts a burden on the preacher, it puts a burden on the people. So often, you know, people come to church and they're so taken up with externals. Do I like the suit the preacher's wearing? Do I like the tie he's wearing? Has he his hair done funny? Do I like the sound of his voice? Do I like this? Do I like that? Do I like the other thing? When all the time we ought to recognize, if I am executing an office that God has given me. And remember, when you call me or anybody else to be your minister, you are saying before heaven, I believe that God has given him that office. And if I am executing the office that God has given me, and faithfully setting forth Christ, faithfully expounding this word, not burdening you with every opinion or theory or notion or philosophy that I have adopted along the journey of life, but expounding this word, then it comes with full authority. Yes, subject everything I say to the word. Believe only as it stands according to the word. But nonetheless, remember, as you do that, the minister and the ministry of Christ come with the authority of him who appointed it. This is a dispensation. Out of that word, I take it that the ministry is God's usual way of providing for his household. It's his usual way, especially, of providing his household with the food of truth. That was uniquely the task of a steward. when a lord or a rich man had a large domain, a large house, and he appointed a steward over all or part of it, it was the steward's task to oversee every part of that work. It was the steward's task to ensure that provision was there for the household. And when the Lord appoints ministers of the gospel, ministers of the book, then he is making his provision to provide the food that God's people need. This is how ministers are to conduct the house of God. This is how they're to approach the job of their pulpit ministry. This is how they're to approach the job of their personal counsel. They are there to provide the food of truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.